Right. I say we should open our Bible somewhere, Isaiah chapter 2. Now, before we read it, let me just remind us of what we have been saying and where our emphasis have been on. Now, what we have been discussing has been the matter of, we titled it, The Light of the World. Now, that's what we have been discussing. I want us to just notice that. And then the emphasis in that is on the fact that anytime God wants to do something in life, he always requires people. It's important we get that very clear. It says that a body thou hast prepared for me. It says sacrifice and offering you have not desired. Jesus was speaking, or David was speaking prophetically about him. He said a body you have prepared for me. That is, before you can do anything, you must have some body through which you will do it. Does that make sense? The English I have just used there. You must have a body, all right? And somebody must be used. And that is the order of God. So we said that when God wants to do things in life, first thing he does is to look for somebody. And everybody must understand that the reason why he has a body on the earth is because God fashioned his own body to do a particular purpose on this earth. That's what I'm saying very clear there. All right, that's what we have been saying. And we have discussed, one of the things we discussed very extensively, which I think is very important among the things that we have said, is that issue of fear. That the main reason why people don't follow the purpose of God for their life is the fear of tomorrow. The fear, like Jesus said, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? And wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now, when people are afraid of such things, they become crippled in their ability to obey God. And Jesus said, well, John was saying in the Revelations, that the solution to that is that he said they overcame the beast this way. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and next, because they did not love their lives unto death. And so Jesus said, those who will love their lives and therefore will not want to lose it are the ones that will lose it. But those who will not mind losing their lives so that they can inherit the kingdom, they are the ones that will not lose their lives. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? So that if people are not delivered from the fear of losing their lives, they will not be able to do anything for God on this earth. Now, those are amongst the most important things that we have discussed in the last many weeks. We have been speaking about the light of the world. Now, today I want us to continue. There's a particular thought I want to introduce today, Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. It said, now it will come about that in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills. And all the nations will stream to it. And many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. He said, for the Lord will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Please notice this. He said, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the supreme mountain of all the mountains. And he now said, people will come and say, let us go to that mountain, to the God of Jacob. The purpose for coming is that he may teach us concerning his ways and that we may walk in his paths. Now, there's another scripture I want us to read before I go into the things I want to say today. First John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. And he said, that is our faith. I want you to notice something. He did not say, whoever is born of God. This came to me many months ago in understanding. He did not say, whoever, the people. Do you understand that? He said, whatever. That means that people are included. Animals are included, you know what I'm saying? Principles are included, companies are included, businesses are included, universities are included. Whatever it is that is born of God overcomes the world. I want you to understand that. Now, what we're going to talk about today, like I said at the beginning, we're reading from Isaiah chapter 2, we're talking about the light of the world. And there is something I want us to understand in the thoughts I'm going to bring out today. The Bible says that Noah was righteous in his generation. There's something there that is important that we note. That Noah was said to be righteous in his generation. And there's something about righteousness which I will highlight as we go on. It is interpreted according to dispensation. I hope you're getting what I'm trying to say here. That is, in Noah's generation, he was considered a righteous man. And in this generation, what made Noah righteous may not be adequate for God to consider us righteous in this particular generation. It's important you get that point very clear. Noah was considered righteous in his generation. Now, having read the scriptures, let me now go on and pass my comments, and I believe we will learn a thing or two. Now, there's something, when we're talking about the light of the world, I said that God's purpose is done through his church. The Bible said that we are the body of Christ. Do you understand? That is, when God wants to do something on this earth, he does it through his body. Now, there's something I want us to note in this matter of righteousness in the generation. What God does is to set a standard of righteousness each time and to increase it with every subsequent generation. Do you get what I'm trying to say? There's a reason why I'm explaining this. You know, sometimes you look, I've seen, one day somebody told me about a man who wanted to marry a second wife. And the man goes to church, so he now settled down. The guy who was telling him the story said, of course, the church people, they refused and they were threatening to excommunicate him if he tried it. So the man sat down and said, where did the Bible say that he cannot marry a second wife? After all, you know, David did. Solomon is a terrible example in that regard. Many people have done that before now. You know, sometimes if you don't understand the things of God well, such people might throw you off balance. Because it's just dawn on you that you too, you can't even quote scriptures for him. But you have always believed that God doesn't like people to marry more than one wife. And in case you want to hear it clearly, God does not want you to marry more than one wife, just for record purposes. But with David, the Bible said categorically that David did not do anything wrong, apart from the case of Uriah. And yet, he married many wives. But, well, this is just by the way, that doesn't mean God sanctioned everything that David did as being correct, all right? But there's a reason why God described David like that, because you talk about his generation. What was important to God, why God picked him as king, he never failed God in that regard, apart from the case of Uriah. Do you understand my point? He obeyed the word of God to him at all times, apart from the case of Uriah. Now, when God rejected Saul, don't forget this, God rejected Saul because Saul was disobeying the instructions of God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, this is how it is. In each generation, God has standards. And you know, if you understand this principle, you know it applies all the time. You know, if I say this, it may be funny. But I really believe what I'm trying to say. It may sound funny, but I really believe it. When I needed to get married, I went home and told my father that I wanted to marry the wife I married. And he okayed it. He doesn't know her father from anywhere. He never heard of her or her family until I came home one day and brought the story upon him. So when I now mentioned that my son can't try that one with me, somebody was surprised, like, what? After all, you did that. I said, yes, the generation is different. Absolutely different. Listen, if I say some of these things, it will surprise some people. That the fact of the matter, listen to this, is that in true divine order, this is a fact. How Abraham picked a wife for Isaac was perfect. He decided where they were going to look for the wife, and he made arrangements about that ahead of time. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. Now, this is a bit difficult to explain. I just want to bring out a point. Why could I do that, and I don't think my son will have the right to do it? The reason is because of generation. Now, my father didn't have the light I had, especially not at my age. Do you understand my point? Listen to this. I'm growing up I grew up as a young Christian in a network of believers, and my network of Christians keep increasing every day. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, listen to this. By the time my children are growing up enough to get married, the generation will be so different that people who were born in the center of the knowledge of God will be all over the place. I don't know the story, except by special divine visitation in which an angel will visit me at night and explain that this one that Akinlu has done is of the Lord. I know that. Okay, that is hard teaching for some people. The first day I said it, apparently Mike had said it before, and I was the first person who was hearing that was agreeing with him. about that. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying that. Let's just continue. Now, the reason is because things are in generations. Now, don't be afraid, all right? You can marry the wives you want and marry the husbands you like and surprise your father with a choice. Do you understand my point? You still belong to my generation. Do you understand? I'm just talking about in 20 years' time, that will not hold water where people like me are. Do you understand my point? I've told you before, if this will interest you, I am not following any of my children to any church for a wedding. If you don't come to my house, that wedding does not have my blessing. I won't follow you anywhere. After the church, if after the wedding in my house, you can go and do Thanksgiving, I will follow you. But if it's my daughter, you know, I have a daughter now. If it's my daughter, you are marrying. It is in my house. Good enough, I'm a rich man that God has made. I will have a big compound. I can host you. Do you understand my point? The responsibility of blessing my daughter when he's going out is with me. And where he's going to is with the husband. Understand? And the husband does not understand it. He is not qualified to marry my daughter. He's too ignorant. Look at all of them looking at me like, this guy, this is another teaching. God, listen, let me shock you. There's no church that carries the blessing of God on any marriage. It's all a matter of tradition. It makes me laugh in this part of the world. They'll spend so much money on traditional marriage and go and repeat this expenditure on church marriage. Why, if you, the blessing of the pastor is so critical to your life, why don't you just invite him for your traditional marriage? Now, I hope you're following my point. Now, you now say that, why is it like that? No, you see, there are times people outgrow some things. I will not keep on walking in half knowledge for the rest of my life. Do you understand my point? The amount of light I've had now, by the time it's time for my kids to marry, I will put some things into implementation. Oh, God. I've lost all of you today. Why did I start with this? Well, I'm trying to explain some principles about generations. As light increases, God said, to whom much is given, much is expected. There are things you tolerate because the Bible will tell you something like, in the times of darkness, God just allowed all of these things. But now, he's calling everybody to repent. I will not continue in some practices that are purely tradition. People, with people thinking they are the order of God and not revolt against them after a particular point in time. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, that is a fact. You know, all right? Those things I'm saying, they are really, really fact. Just that you don't go around rocking the boat. When I was going to get married, people say, I can't marry this church, I can't marry that church. I was one person that I said, if my father-in-law was a Muslim, I would have followed him to the mosque to go and marry. No, honestly. Just go there. This is your house. All right, fine. Have you finished your wedding? Then I go. If you're talking about a man of God blessing marriage, I'll tell you the truth. The person that blessed me as a man of God was Pastor Kwaju in Lagos. And I'm not joking about that. I didn't wed in his church. I wedded in my parents-in-law's church, St. Paul's Catholic Church. That's where I wedded. My wife and I had agreed that when we get back to Lagos, Pastor Kwaju, I have never seen any man bless a couple like him. Go and watch him bless a couple. You will go and marry and run down there and put your hand head down. When this guy uses revelation to pronounce blessing on you, you go fear. No, there's a reason why I'm saying this. There's a reason. Because you see, then a lot of people I say, listen, as far as I'm concerned, it's a matter of generations. In my generation, things will be done slightly differently. Do you understand? Now, what God is doing each time is to introduce light. That's what I'm saying. And with each light he introduces, listen to this, he sets a new standard for the peoples. Now, I didn't say for the church, but I said what? For the peoples. Everybody around will learn a new standard of walking in life by watching the body of Christ walk. Now, listen to what I'm saying. One day, I read, hey, Mike, I think you were the one that took me down there. This International Christian Chambers of Commerce, their website. I accessed some information there. That was the day I understood that the current legal system we practice in Nigeria today, which was derived from the British system, was actually derived from revelation. You know, it was built upon a simple principle. If thy brother offends you, talk to him. Do you understand that? And if he doesn't listen, take somebody else with you. And if he doesn't listen, tell it to the whole church. You know, then, when two men are quarreling in lots of the parts of Europe, what do? They take their guns, turn their backs, you understand? Count 10 steps, turn around, and shoot. That's how you settle serious quarrels. Are you following the point? But the man said, this is not right. This is not biblical. I'm coming to a point. He took this system of justice to a new level by revelation. That is, the law came out of Zion. Then after that, every nation saw that that was good and they began to copy it. Listen to me. This principle of monogamy, that's a law in most nations of the earth. You know, monogamy is a law in most countries. It's a law. In Nigerian law, you can't marry twice. Under this, I mean, you go to court, you sign that you have married, or you go to church and the church has the federal government register for you. If you try it and marry again, you go to jail. The people that have many wives, they are married according to traditional customs, the laws and customs of the peoples. The law in Nigeria does not recognize that you have two wives. Where did that start from? Even all these nations that have refused to acknowledge God, their laws of marriage were founded upon biblical principles. Take America, for example. There's what they call the marriage penalty. It's not as if it's a legal thing. It's the way people complain about it. If you are earning $50,000 a year and you are in the maybe 25% tax bracket, then you marry a lady that's earning about $50,000 a year also, who is also in the 25% tax bracket. I'm not sure the percentage, I'm just using that to explain. You know, after that, your combined income is now $100,000 a year. I don't know whether they review the laws now, because people were complaining bitterly. Now, if individuals earning $100,000 a year are in the 35% tax bracket, you instantly move in there as a couple. So they call it the marriage penalty, that you are punishing us for being married. That is, as individuals, we're paying 25% of our income as tax. But now we have married, you're now saying we'll start paying 30, that you've increased the amount of tax we pay. So people were, I don't know whether it's been reviewed now. But what I want to get across to you from there is this. That was founded upon the principle, the two shall become one flesh. Look, the law doesn't see you as two people anymore. That one person is earning 100,000 and you're supposed to pay, tax at this particular level. Now, I'm bringing out the point here. That law, all those laws, they may have forgotten the origin, but it was derived from the principles of the gospel. And they became a light to the nations. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? They became a light to the nations. All the things we practice, you know, of course, they've been watered down. They've been, you know, now in France. Is it France now? Even in UK, yes. Everywhere now, men can now marry men. Netherlands, all of them. All right. Now, they've wrecked the... I said the question they have asked them, say, what the concept of marriage, where did it come from into our society? If it was so true that we evolved from animals, how did these animals learn monogamy? You understand what I'm trying to say? That, but it has been watered down. But the point is that the original thing that held those societies were founded upon biblical principles. What I'm saying, are you understanding it? I'm trying to bring out a point. That every time God wants to move people to a level. Now, the fact that David married 10 wives does not now justify anybody marrying 10 wives just because David pleased God with his 10 wives. The difference is that the generation has passed that 10 wives were allowed. Do you get what I'm trying to say? The generation has passed. If you try it now, I will be the first to disown you. Do you understand my point? And you know, if I tried it, next Saturday, now let me go there here. In fact, as soon as you hear, you will miss also that, this is Celestial Church of Christ we are coming to now. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Now, there's something I'm trying to explain here, because we're talking about not just marriage, but every aspect of life, legal system, everything. And what I want to say here is this. Every time the plan and purpose of God is to introduce new light into the earth. And the only way by which we do it, listen, is by his people. Do you follow what I'm saying? Who will live life differently? Let me explain further. There's a piece of iniquity that's very common in Eastern Nigeria, where we are right now. You know, somebody asked me the other day, he said, how's my brother, DJ? I said, he's fine. He said, is he married now? I knew what he was saying. He's an Igbo man, I'm a Yoruba man. And he knows that in my place, where DJ to marry is not exactly a strange thing. You understand what I'm trying to say? That's who DJ has gotten married. So when I said that we are not that bad, you understand what I'm saying? I told him, I said, we are not that bad. That was the way I answered it. All right. Now, what was he saying? There's a typical thing in this part of the world, and you know it as a fact. One, before a guy marries, he must be made, generally. He must be made. I mean, struggling guys don't marry here. And the girls actually think something must be wrong with you if you are trying to get married. and you're a struggling guy. You know what I mean by struggling? What they call a struggling bachelor. Now, most people, at least in this part of the world, you hardly hear. But there was one guy, one struggling bachelor I knew once. He said he was getting married. And he's an Igbo man. So first question I asked, I said, where is his wife from? He said, Cross River. I said, good. I said, it would have been strange to me. Now, it's not impossible. I've seen strongly spinsters marry struggling bachelors. That's happened now these days. It would have been strange to me, really, that time. This was about 4 or 5 years ago. First, I said, where's his wife from? They told me. I said, very good. I said, because in this part of the world, he's not likely to get a wife. The guy was very wise. He just went far away. A friend of mine got married, I've told you the story before, as an excruciatingly suffering bachelor. His own suffering was serious. And the girl just felt like, well, you can suffer all you want. My guy, you know we're engaged, and the engagement done the past like 2 years now. So let's just get married first, then we can continue the suffering afterwards. And I was a witness. No, listen, I was a witness at the wedding. They suffered through the wedding and suffered for a few years after. The next time I visited him, he had so broken through in life that he became my... I've told his story. I've used the story to preach not once, not twice, not three times. Are you getting my point? Now, which one is right? I will tell you what is right. The Bible says very clearly, it said, let your fountain be blessed and enjoy life with the wife of thy youth. Listen, it is a satanic principle to settle first before you marry. Okay, now. How many have I lost again? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your business is established. You have built a house. You have bought a good car. Then you add the last piece of manly requirements in life, which is a woman. Therefore, she shall bear you children and then take care of your house. And then God forbid that you should die suddenly. You think your brothers won't kick her out? They will. They will because, she was the last thing you added to everything you had. Listen, you know, I was hearing they passed a bill in Enugu State on widows' rights. I smiled to myself. I said, you see, iniquity is in the heart. No matter how much you legislate it, it go hard to fight. That the reason why the widow doesn't have rights, which is difficult for God to defend her, is because before she married also, she said, I can only marry a settled man. So God said, you have not married the husband of your youth. Therefore, he said, I will not defend you in the time of trouble. Listen, God told the children of Israel in Malachi, he said that I will no longer receive sacrifices from your hands. Why? Because you dealt treacherously with the wife of your youth. There was a reason God said that. I mean, this man had a dream, he had an idea. And then, for those of you who know, go and read the Robert Kiyosaki story. He'll tell you how he and his wife were living inside their car because they had nowhere else to live. But they had a dream, they had a vision. The guy who wrote Rich Dad Poor Dad. Now, I want to use him as an example. And then, of course, by the time you read Rich Dad Poor Dad, the guy was a millionaire. Do you understand? And since you read it, he has become richer. Because you know the way things are. When the harvest is ripe, you put in the sickle because the harvest has come. You understand my point? After writing Rich Dad, Poor Dad, you write Rich Dad, Poor Kid. Then you write Rich Kid, Rich Dad. Then Poor Dad, Rich Kid. You know, that's the way it is. Then you now write Rich Dad's Guide to Investing. And then Rich Dad's Defense Against Losing Money in Investment. Then Rich Dad, Poor Dad Workbook. No, Americans are experts at it, whether they are churchmen or not. They are experts at it. They will, no, don't be angry with them. It's called, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. It's in the Bible. Do you understand my point? You read from every angle. And then there's Rich Dad on audio tape. There's Rich Dad interactive website. Oh, at the end of the day, the guy is just swimming in richness. You know? Now, this is what I'm saying. Now, he married what the Bible calls the wife of his youth. If now, suddenly he gets one brainwave and says, a woman doesn't smile well anymore in the morning, they now have irreconcilable differences. And then divorce starts. God says, I'm watching you. 10 years later, God will give and see a prostate. Sorry, maybe not see. Okay, sorry. Cancer of the prostate, that's what I said. So those who don't understand, I was speaking medical terminology. You know why? God says, now you are made. You want to get a new wife. All right, let me show you. And you know how doctors treat CA prostate? To tell them after. I'll tell you, one of the ways that the cost of the man's testes. So that's how God will use to treat the man for dealing treacherously with the wife of his youth. He will run from one crusade to the other. God will be looking at him and say, you want healing? Drive away that fresh one and go and beg the old one. I've used that to explain the meaning of the word, the wife of your youth. Now, I'm not teaching on marriage. I'm bringing out a principle. You think everybody in this part, our part of the country, will change overnight? No. God doesn't even want them to change overnight. You know who he wants to change? The church, the Christians. So you can understand that God is angry and disappointed when you go to church and the brothers are also thinking that, no, when you say, what, are you getting married? Married, okay, it will take the next 6 years or between now and then, but then, you know, he also has a mentality, I have to buy a car, I have to arrive first. Do you get what I'm going to say? They are beginning to lose the blessings of God. Are you getting my point? God is disappointed when the young women there too, they have the same attitude, the same mindset as other people around. That this is, because you know that the way it will happen. Your friends, if you tell you are getting married and they discover that your husband is a struggling bachelor, you want to marry the Chibwezi of all the men around that you want to marry. You don't notice that he takes Okada to come for Bible study. Okay, no. You and your husband want to go out. So one Okada in front, one behind. When they finish painting picture for you, anyway, in case they ask you that, tell them that he will buy an Okada, two of you will be on the same one. No, listen, when they have finished painting that picture for you, most the hearts of most people fail them. Do you understand my point? There's not telling you a story. There was a day a young lady was getting married, and one other lady was where I was, and she was talking about it. She said, that girl is very lucky. So I asked her a simple question. Why do you know she's lucky? Do you know the guy? No. But the guy is a very influential man who has a lot of money. So as far as she's concerned, she's a lucky girl. And I shook my head. There was the luck in it. You want to see a lucky woman? Go and meet my wife. She's very lucky. Because she married the wife of the husband of her youth. I mean, we both trekked into marriage. It's very fantastic. That is, you trek into matrimony. No, do you understand my point? That is, what God is saying is this. When you are starting out in life, listen to me, as a young man, the worst time to get married, to find the wife, the most difficult time to find the true wife, except by serious divine revelation, is when you are properly made. You know that? Because everybody is a friend to the man that has. I like what the pastor Paul, you said once. He said that if you have arrived and you want to marry, he said you want to go and visit a woman, he said, wear salubata. Don't bat, scatter your hair. So that. He said that the reason is that he was talking about shifts in seasons, that your life is in seasons, and that usually towards the end of a season, you will go through crisis so that you can spring into the next season. That's what he was saying. So he was using that one to explain the principle that you have to use revelation. Now, get what this point clearly. There's the words or the things that you are persuaded about that move you into your seasons, that your wife must buy it before you can marry her. You're not getting what I'm going to say. Let me explain what I'm saying. That is, what is it that is moving you in life? If it's revelation from God, that must be the thing that she's seeing that's impressing her about you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? You are getting what I'm trying to say. That is, when you have caught a vision, try and sell your vision. This is a fact about life. Anytime you want to invest in a business, if you invest when it's already making money, the shares are very expensive. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now imagine that when these Google search, the first time they brought up that idea, maybe you sweated and pulled out $10,000 and gave them. Right now you are a millionaire. In a few years, you are a millionaire. But try and buy the same shares now, you can't raise the money anymore. Do you get my point? The reason being that the time things are cheapest to acquire in life is when they just exist only as a vision. That was why Jacob could easily buy Esau's birthright. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because Esau had not yet experienced anything. So he could easily, what is it? Give me the whole, take the whole birthright for one meal. But if Esau could see and see the manifestation of that promise years down the line, listen to me. You can't buy it. I used to say something then. Let me say it again so that this young man, you go and use it too. It works very well. Use it for women. It works very well. I used to tell women that if you knew who it was that spoke to thee, you understand my point? No, it's true. I like one thing Kichi Loputaife used to say that. There are all these young women that won't leave her husband alone. They should remember that when she married him, he was not like this. So if he catches any one of you, that, in fact, this guy says something, Oki Onuzo. I don't know how many of you know Oki Onuzo. I read one of his books. He said, there are times he talks to young ladies. Why are you not married? He said, hey, these men, they don't know how to take care of women. He said, hey, what exactly do you mean? He said, a good man, they will describe what a perfect man is supposed to be like. He said, he will look at them and say, that is true. He said, such men exist. He said, there are plenty around. He said, but you know what? He said, what? They are all married. He said, they are all married. And for your information, when their wives married them, they were not like that. That you see this perfect man you are looking for, he will need to train on you. That is, you are his training ground. A real man knows how to take care of a woman. They never know. Do you get my point? They don't. They are usually crude. They don't know anything. They are no, listen to me. Are you ladies listening? Good men are insensitive. They don't have sense. They will forget your birthday. Are you getting my point? No, listen to what I'm saying. No. They won't know how important it is that they should buy you a gift. They will invest in their business. In fact, they don't love you. Are you getting my point? That's a real man. No, listen. Is a real man supposed to be insensitive? No, but you are the one that will teach him sensitivity. That's what I'm saying. When you will marry him, he will be a nonsense, crude guy who doesn't understand that when a woman is moody, he should pet her. If till now, I have not gotten used to it. I still don't understand that if something is worrying you, why can't you just open your mouth and say it? Because that's what I would do. But well, if Mohammed will not go to the mountain will come to Mohammed. And since the wife has refused to learn it, maybe I should learn the other one. Do you understand my point? Now, are you getting what I'm saying? I mean, I used to read through this that a young lady said, old men are better husbands. I said, you are a thief. You know what a thief is? Where other people have labored. It's true. Other women have labored. You want to now go and reap. Then afterwards, you want your children to struggle with the children of the senior wife for inheritance only. Thief. Now, you are getting the point I'm making here. That, listen, when they are going to start, the good men, they are always like that. It's as time goes on that they will become the perfect man that you have prayed for. You know, remember my story? That a woman will kneel down and pray and say, dear Lord, why am I talking about this marriage thing? All those of you that came with marriage issues, see what you have caused. Ah, this man is scratching his head. No, he must be guilty. You know, there's a proverb in Igbo land, you know now, that if your person is dancing bad dance, your brow starts itching you. That is when the thing is concerning you, suddenly you start scratching. So that you're scratching your brow and your nose. It's touching you, I know. The woman will kneel and pray, God, give me this kind of husband, you know. He must be handsome like Panky. You see, you talk. After you pray, then you pray, he must be very rich. I like a man that's rich like this and this and that, you know. And then you finish. God will say, my daughter, I have heard thy prayers. Arise and depart from hence. You shall move down 2 kilometers. Then 2 men shall ask you, you know, the way God will send money. You know, they will give, he said, the one that giveth thee a cup of coke, that is the guy. And then, out of excitement, you get up. You move your 2 kilometers, then the 3 men appear, and then the last one gives you a bottle of coke. Ah, praise God! He said, you look at the guy. The guy is not fine at all. Actually, he didn't brush well that morning. Unfortunately, his beards are not even well-shaped right now. Or he decided to go out because he's been working so hard in the studio, looking like a musician. You understand? His hair is in a tangle. And then when they arose to depart, he came out and said, Okada. How you climb on Okada? So you go back to the temple.
Say, dear Lord, there was a mistake in that communication. I thought you said that the guy who gave me a glass cup of Coke, that guy used a mug. Lord said, I never said glass cup, I just said a cup. But of course, since God won't talk so openly, you go and say, I knew you had to be a glass cup. Ah, thank God, I reject it in Jesus' name. No, you reject it in Jesus' name. And after rejecting it in Jesus' name, the guy departs. So the guy will come back again and again. He look at him and say, I'm warning you. Do you see your type in this house? Are you following my point? And of course, he's rejected. And the stone that the builders rejected usually become the chief cornerstone. You're following my point? All right, so then 10 years down the line, then when the one that guy drives past looking really dishy, like they say, snazzy, you get my point? The type that every driver will slow down and turn to look at him drive past. Look, I used to, that face looks a bit vaguely familiar. You can't remember the face anyway. The lady is still not married, 10 years has passed. Now, the Lord's Coke is still coming. Messiah can come, and you don't recognize him. And 2,000 years later, you are still fighting Arafat about the Messiah that's supposed to come to one particular temple that you are going to build in a particular geographical location. And the rest of the world is enjoying the Messiah, and he's blessing them, healing them, and increasing them, and prospering them. And they are gathering at times like this, speaking the word of that Messiah. You know it happens. You know it happens. So of course, one Gentile has married the guy when the Jew rejected him. One Gentile will marry him. He said, look at that. What's wrong with this? What's this? What's this? My name again? Chukubi gave me this. I accept that now. He's a perfect picture that you painted in the temple 10 years ago. Guy's really fine now. Now he has remembered to shave. Of course, his wife reminds him now. Actually, his wife forces him to shave. Most guys never buy antiperspirant until a woman buys for them. Most. I'm not saying all of you. And all of them are looking very guilty because no woman has bought for them and they have never bought antiperspirants. That's why they are not talking. No, it's true. You ladies, at the end, next birthday of these guys, buy one antiperspirant. That will be their initiation. I was like, that's in my life too. That's why, it's something that happened to me before. No, I'm telling you, when you're thinking about a present to buy for a man, initiate him. No, it's called initiation. After you bought the first one, he will buy the next one. So now the guy is really, you know, there's a smell of wealth that goes with rich men. You don't notice before? Even if the guy comes wearing slippers, there's a way he enters. There's a particular kind of soap my wife bought some time ago. I told her to buy it again. Now I'm the only one that uses it. You know why? When you finish bathing, you smell rich. That's my only reason why I like it. The smell sticks on your skin. So what I do is that sometimes you see me sniffing the back of my hand. It's the soap. Amen. Now, my message for today, maybe I'll preach it next week. Those who that came with marriage issues, look at what they have done to us. Now, are you getting my point? So, the guy looks very, but he's not the perfect picture. But, of course, it is too late. That is, Jesus said, you did not recognize the time of your visitation. What am I saying? When God brings that answer, it does not always look like it. It doesn't always look like it. And it's not only marriage. In many things, there are many people who are praying, God, I want to be a successful businessman and all that. And God is giving them ideas. Remember, there was an example I used when I went to preach in the church. That the man that God has ordained right now to become the owner of the best private airline in Nigeria, possibly God will start him with an Okada. He may not be the one riding it. He may give out a few motorbikes and crash helmets for guys to be returning to him 500 naira a day. Do you understand the point? And after that, he moves on to, there are fine buses in town now. He moves on to buses. Then these Pujos that they are using all over town now, experts, a few experts. But there's something about the power of God's blessing. It ensures that it increases all the time. Then one day God arranges one interesting arrangement. He finds himself owning maybe about 10 luxury buses. And before he's through with that one, doors have opened. They have small planes that, you know, people would come and lease. And one day, you know, another Richard Branson is born in Nigeria. You are getting what I'm trying to say? But God is saying that if he didn't buy those Okadas, I would never have taken him anywhere. Do you understand my point? I was preaching on radio this morning. Among the things I give as examples is that people that will own universities are probably teaching primary and secondary schools now. And God said, do you know where I'm taking them to? The best universities, the best hospitals in this country, they are going to own them. But right now, you know what they are doing? They are teaching primary schools, they are teaching secondary schools. And God said, if they don't do well in doing that, I won't take them anywhere. That the reason I keep people in low places is for them to qualify themselves for high places. Do you understand my point? When the ruler gave out talents to his servants, it was so that he could use their performance to set them over cities. Is what I'm saying making sense to you? Now, let me get back to the main thing I'm trying to say for the day. So I don't know like how I digress to that level. I don't really know. But now let me connect from one particular point. So I was saying about that marriage matter, that if things are going to change in an environment, what God will do is to change the lives of certain people there first. And God will now use them as examples for everybody else to see. That's why we read from Isaiah chapter 2 now. It will come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be exalted above all the mountains. And then people will now flow to it and say, we have noticed that this is the way to make progress in life. Teach us the ways of your God. Are you getting my point? Listen, the church that does things like the rest of the world is as impotent as can be. They are not affecting anything. I was going to say something about business principles. One of the things that underlie, now I have studied enough to know this. You know, it's a fact that most businesses, I keep on forgetting the statistics, most businesses collapse shortly after they are born. Within the first 5 years, they are dead. There are physical reasons, all right? But I know that the spiritual reasons, most importantly, is that those businesses were started to make money. That is the spiritual reason why they collapse. Now, that is the most important reason why they collapse, because they are primarily started to make money. Do you understand? Now, I have noticed something about most that succeed, the stories I have read. Almost every time, more than 75% of the times, the people always make one statement, that we never started out primarily to make money. We are not saying money was never a consideration, but this was a more important consideration. Somebody, I've quoted these stories a few times about John Johnson that started Ebony. How his own story started. But so when I talked to somebody about it, now said that he would send me the mag. So he sent me the edition that they did, I think, after he died. Yes. All right. After the man died. And the man said, how did he start that? He was on the campaign team for a particular president. And his job was to kind of, you know, try and get the black voters. So how was he doing it? He was researching the lives of influential black men. Do you understand the point? That is, he wants to encourage the black people. So he researched out the lives of influential black people before that time. Now, after doing it, the guy realized that, look, this thing gives pride to the black man, because the black man is a descendant of a slave, and the white man rubs it in all the time. Do you understand my point? Genetically, there is nothing superior in a white man's brain. And at least now we know it, right? Because when our guys who trained, you know, when you work in Nigeria, with the ambient temperature, you understand what I mean? With everywhere so hot, and you can learn. When you get to everywhere in school, you learn faster. Your brain is already tuned to high gear. No, it's true. When our guys perform against other guys there, after training here, they do very well. Because with all the audiovisuals and everything they give them there, here, you learn your book by imagination, by meditation and prayer, you will understand something. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you see medical students that are learning histology, they don't have microscopes. So when they describe a neutrophil for you, your frontal lobe will wake up to construct the photograph in the air. Believe me. So when you not get to where the audio, visual, everything is there, you just go to the library, you tell them that there's this part, they just bring CDs for you, say, okay, this is it, and you are, what? You go learn so fast that they will now look and say, wow, genius. It's not genius, my brother, and I had times. I mean, you've been trained. Why do you think all those guys from high countries, they do very well in marathon? If those who train for long distance, they know the best place to train for athletes is on the mountains. For those who don't know, oxygen tension there is very low. Level of oxygen up there is very low. So when you perform with low oxygen tension, when they now bring you down to high oxygen tension, you could just run like gazelle. Nobody could fit catch you. That's the principle. You are getting what I'm trying to say here. So the man realized then that a lot of black people didn't have, they were not proud, you know. That's why words like I'm black and proud came out. You know, I don't hear from my mouth. To me, I'm just black. I'm just a human being. I'm just black. All this I'm black and proud is when you are coming out from an unproud background. You want to psych yourself into being proud. So the man was trying to make them proud. Do you understand the principle? So he began to research and to publish things that will make other people successful in life. Are you getting the point? Now, when he started, of course, nobody believed. Like I told you, ideas was what he had to sell. And nobody agreed. Because they didn't see. I mean, the black people were perceived as not being a high income earning group, so they won't spend much money on stuff like that. You are getting the principle. They won't spend much money on stuff like that. So the man tried during the 50th anniversary of Ebony. He said he wanted to thank three men who made it possible for him to be the sole owner. What did they do? He approached them for money and they refused. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You are getting the point. Then, because he was the sole owner, he approached them to invest money. Buy the vision chip, they refused. So he had to borrow $500 using his mother's furniture as collateral. Now, you are getting the point I'm making here. What I'm bringing out is the fact that he was doing it not so as to make money. He was doing it primarily, not primarily to make money, but to give pride to his people. And that was what God blessed. Do you understand my point? It was that thing in him, desiring to bless people. That was what God blessed. You know, the same person who gave me that mag, you know, one day we were speaking on the phone, and I mentioned the story of this woman, my very good example, Mary Kay Ash. There was something that I noticed also in her life exactly like this. You know, she never tried to make money. She worked as hard as everybody else and retired from working and said that I have learned how not to do business, how to manage people, how to run a marketing company, how to do well, and, you know, how to treat your people well. He said, but unfortunately, now she wrote everything in a book. Are you getting my point? But she said that nobody will agree to read a book written by nobody. Do you get it? Do you understand that? That why should anybody read a book written by a nobody like herself? So he said, okay, the only way to get people to learn this thing is to practice it first. So she started a company with one aim in mind, to give pride again, let me use that same word, to the women folk. So that women could labor, you understand? And be proud of themselves while putting God first. Those are her principles. God had to be first, family had to be second, and then the career would be third. Very unlike what we see around these days. One day when I told somebody that when my wife delivers, she's going to stop working where she was working. He said, what about her career? I said, her career is that she married me and she's having children. You don't know that's a career. I said, listen, it's not as if it is wrong to work. The point is that if you wake up 7 a.m., and come back home, till midnight, the Bible says it is vain. Is that not so? Why should you continue in vanity? It is vain for a man to rise, worse for a woman, actually, to rise up at 7 a.m. No, rise up at 6, get to work at 7, and come back at 10 p.m. No, it's not good. Now, the woman said, listen, that is not good. That God will be first, their families will be second, that the home is primarily the responsibility of the woman. So she wanted a business that would give them that time also. Especially because she needed it when she was working. I heard that when she died, I heard that for the first time, I have not confirmed it. They said Mike Murdoch said that she had $3 billion in her account. You know, that's very unusual. You know, that is near impossible. Now, I have not researched that, but somebody quoted it that they said the liquidity that she had when she was dying was $3 billion US dollars. Listen, most of the people you call billionaires in America don't have that. Those, their own values are the values of their companies. Her company went public once. She pulled it out of the public sphere. You know her reason? She said they were going to dilute her values. The reason being that her values were not in keeping with the values of the world. I used to tell people that if I own a company, it's not going public. If it goes public, another company will go public that will own 49% maximum of the shares of the company I have. Why? Because I know I'm going to be operating principles that if Accenture were to come and look, they will say you are losing money. And you know, but you know the interesting part? These are the principles that will sustain the business because life is spiritual. One man I was watching on TV once, I think he's a Christian. He started what he called Integrity Marketing Company. You know why he used the name of the company, Integrity Marketing? Because he found that marketing was done primarily to make money. That the people are not telling the truth. Their watchword in that company is what? Integrity. Anything you say must be true and absolutely true. In fact, Mary Kay asked, she started it that time. If you use our products and you don't like it, return it, will give you your money back fully. You know why she did that? She was confident in what she was selling. And that if it's not doing you good, you shouldn't use it. People can say that because they are not in this thing for money. At the end of the day, she died leaving liquidity, $3 billion. Listen, if Bill Gates wants $3 billion, he will sweat. No, I'm not joking about that. You know if he wants $3 billion, you know the easiest way for him to get it. Should I tell you? You go and buy a loan, you take a loan. No, no, for those of you who don't know business, that's how they do it. You walk to a bank, tell me, give me $3 billion. You know why he won't sell his shares? You know why? The price will crash. You want to raise $3 billion from sale of shares, the price will nosedive. Let me just educate those who don't know. Because the market senses that you have lost confidence in your own business. They will be the first to offload, not you. Now, are you getting the point I'm making? Now, this is life. This is life. That the men who really succeed, Jesus said, those that will lose their lives are the ones that will find it. Now, if you're going to do business like this, now, which is the proper way to do business? That is the proper way. Now, if you are going to do it like that, listen to me, people will not agree with you when you are starting. But God says, the only way I will teach them is when I make you a success. And everybody's learning it now. All of them now have money back guarantees. Because if you don't give a money back guarantee, nobody's will patronize you. It's very common abroad now, money back guarantees. But when some people started it, it was insane. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is when we say the mountain of the house of the Lord will be exalted above all the hills and all the nations will flow to it. We are saying that you will use principles that are godly, but the world does not understand. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, you not be in agreement with sound principles. This man also impressed me. Second richest man in the world, Warren Buffett. Say, Chairman Buffett will look. And say, this principle doesn't make sense. Now, listen to me. Everybody's practicing it. The biggest companies are practicing it. The biggest accounting firms are saying, it's all right. The man looks and says, this thing is senseless. They realize that Chairman Buffett was right. Then they start writing accounting books again. And they start teaching new principles in school. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because a man has brought out new light. What I'm preaching is this, that the purpose of God for his church is for them to bring forth what? New light. Not to be doing everything like the world. Listen, if you have, I told you before, maybe we'll discuss that again another time, when we're talking about God stirring up your spirit. One of the things that God will do when he's stirring up your spirit will give you very silly, in quote, ideas. Listen to that message I preached. The one I told you I preached in church on Wednesday. Look, I got an understanding there while I was speaking. When the Bible says that the foolishness of God is wiser than men, it wasn't saying that when God is doing foolishly, what he's doing is wiser than the things of men. God does never do foolishly. You know what he was saying? When a man obeying God is doing things that are senseless, his results will be better than the wisest ones from men. That's what he was saying. That is, you observe what he's doing, this thing is madness. You know, I read the story, I heard the story long ago, not really read, about R.G. Letourneau, the man who used to invent earth-moving machines. And when I was reading that story, they remarked that after he sold his company for, in those days, maybe close to $100 million, they remarked that the man did something very silly. He gave out all the money to missions. They didn't understand that that's why the man never went down. Do you get my point? Remember what we discussed about the priestly corner of life? Remember that discussion? We said that in Israel, they had a law. They had a priesthood. They had their sacrifices. Their prosperity was dependent upon following those laws and maintaining that priesthood. Do you understand my point? Now, so if Philips Consulting or Accenture or one of those companies had gone there those days, or is it Solomon Brothers, all those people, and they have seen Israel do things, they would have said these people are wasteful. Listen to how it will go. 7 days of the week, there is a day you must not work. Not only must you not work, you must not even light a fire. They started having what they call Sabbath days journeys, days in which you must not go far. Ah. A man should be productive. Do you know the number of man hours they lose every day? Do you get my point? Every week. He said, when you are harvesting your crops, I discussed some of this in that tip I was referring to. He said, when you are harvesting, as you are going one way, don't turn back. Anything that drops is lost. God said, that's how the widows and the fatherless and the strangers and those that don't have their own land, that's how they will get food. He said, 3 times a year, you must leave everything you are doing and travel to go and appear in the presence of the Lord. These are really jobless people, don't you think so? Not only that, you will take 10% of everything you have earned for the year and squander, no, the proper word is squander, and squander it in what you call offering to the Lord. You go there, you will kill cow. And by the way, the choicest of the cattle, you brought it to kill for nothing. There is no accounting firm that will not prophesy bankruptcy upon your head. No, are you getting what I'm saying? There is no accounting firm that will analyze that will not say the MD of this company is mad. That was why Mary Kay Ash pulled her company out of the public sector. You know what I mean by public sector now? She bought back, they had done an IPO. After some time, they raised money and bought back all the shares. Say, no, if we leave this thing like this, these men of the world, they will dilute the principles upon which this thing is founded. Do you get my point? Now, Israel, why losing like this? God said, as long as you keep on doing this foolishness of God, there's no nation around that will be as strong as you are. There will be no nation around that will be as rich as you are. As long as your foolishness does not stop. But the day you become reasonable, they now invent a combined harvester that automatically goes over the field twice. Do you know what I'm going to say? As the front is harvesting, the back is harvesting, so that there is no gleaning for the poor. God will nod. So this special combined harvester harvests to the very edges, you know, because the law in Israel is that you are not supposed to harvest to the edges of your field. You know that. You're not supposed to harvest to the very edges, the corners. It's a very good. Meanwhile, in this village, we shall appoint representatives who shall go to Jerusalem. The rest of us must continue to work. You know, communism. Work. Work. We shall run 24-hour shifts. That is, some men work in the morning, some work at night. They tried that. No, I'm serious. Stalin tried all of these things, thinking that God was foolish. Meanwhile, he was the one that was foolish. When you finish, God will do like this. You just blink, small blink. The sky says, I know they fall again. Rain, know they fall again. Next season, you will plow. You will wait for rain. The rain will not come. God said, you have forgotten that you can plant. You can plant if you like. But I'm the one that gives the increase. Are you getting my principle here? God said, you can plant to, if you like, even irrigate. But increase comes from my hands. He said, oh, you think there are no more locusts? I'm the one holding back locusts. The day you to stop, you start holding back the things that I say you should return to me through the widows, through the fatherless, through the strangers, through the priesthood. You know what I do also? I release the locusts. You know, remember what he told them? He said, the temple of the Lord will not be built. He said, no problem. You see, have you noticed that when you collect money, you put into your pocket, when you check it later, one thief don't collect your mobile phone. That you put into pockets with holes. God said, look, there's balance in life. I'm the one that has been plugging the place where you have been losing. And this is the principle. Listen to me. Accenture won't understand this. PricewaterhouseCoopers and Neil Gundy, all of them put together, will not understand this. Are you getting my point? They are biblical principles which God says the only way I can establish it on the earth is through my church. What I wanted to preach today, our time is really gone. We'll continue on next time. Is this matter of setting a standard of righteousness for your generation. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, when you are doing business, listen to me, whether we like it or not, this is a fact. Fruit is from the hand of God. You understand my point? Fruitfulness is a blessing. He said, thou shalt remember that it is the Lord thy God that has given you the ability to get wealth. If he withholds the ability, then you will never get anything. Therefore, in life, you don't have to be reasonable. You have to be obedient. You have to be accurate in your understanding of biblical principles. Last year, we talked about biblical financial management. It's very important everybody understands that thing. This is a fact of life. If God doesn't bless your work, it will not be blessed. And if he starts blessing it, he will never get tired of blessing it. And you know, I was telling Kingsley today that our prayer has worked. He said, what? I said, now you can get original plugs in the market. I found out that government has clamped down on this dumping of every kind of fake products into Nigeria. You know, CDs are very hard. I told you I was finding it very hard to get CDs. Compact disc. He said, yes. It's because right now, to ship anything to the country is tight. Because government has finally decided to fight this issue of dumping. Everybody imports useless and absolute nonsense materials and sells it. Because they told them it is the fastest way to make money. One of the commonest things you hear around. And any believer that repeats it, oh God, frustration will never depart from his house. Listen to this. You enter market, anything they do wrong, what do they say? It's business. Once you say that, you will never prosper as a child of God. And listen, and in any market where exists one person that refuses to repeat that nonsense, everybody else around will collapse because of him. Listen, what God is looking for every time is a righteous standard to lift up so he can bring everybody else down. Do you get my point? What God is looking for, I will close with this, is the righteous standard to lift up. After that, he brings everybody else down. A lot of times when God tolerates nonsense, it is because there is no option. See, all these politicians are wicked. Let me tell you the truth. Let me tell you this as a matter of fact. All these Christians you are thinking about, they are nonsense people, most of them. No, you know why? Just talk to them. You understand? If you appoint an average believer into office, it is hard for us to remember saying a Christian. Brown was telling me about the governor of one very important state in this federation. I shall not say more than that. Who was a certified believer? That is, people say they have been to meetings before where the man was praying in other tongues. No, I'm not talking about the former Anambra one. That's another case on his own. That one was backsliding before he entered office. This one, this, after the man became governor, listen to this. His church excommunicated him for adultery, not for chopping money. Meanwhile, if God had made a Muslim a governor, would have been crying. That is, no, you know, I was happy when I heard about that church. Your governor is your problem. We have our rules here. Any man who is not repenting of evil works, we are kicking him out. That the day he came to church with his commissioners, when the chaplain finished with him, he said, the man's wife came to church and reported, my husband is indulging in adultery. And they investigated and found that it was true. So they excommunicated him. They didn't care that was the governor. Listen, the problem God has, that's why I teach like this all the time, and we'll go on and announcing these things. That, listen, don't be fooled. I was listening to Pastor Paul, one tape I had some time ago. He said, the cry of the poor is usually a cry of hypocrisy. He was quoting from Job. They cry because of the arm of the oppressor. But nobody says, where is God my maker? Most of the people that are crying are wicked people at heart. I had an experience recently. I did not know that it was possible for a man to exist and will not desire the progress of anybody. I never knew it was possible. That a man will sit down and preside over people not making progress and feeling very self-righteous in it. For the first time I looked, I told somebody, this guy is evil. No, God is my witness. Now I am understanding why men have to die suddenly for some people, for some nations to move forward. I made excuses for people like Abacha all the time. Now I understand men can just be simply wicked. But you see such people, the religion on their heads. Religion. Listen, I beg, I've taken your time. Let me close the things I'm saying. I'll continue my points next time. But what I've tried to explain today is this. The Bible says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. If you set out in business, listen, at the point in time, banks have no go and lend you money. Don't worry. Pastor Paul, you said something one of his messages I listened to recently. And to me, that was so insightful. Straight from the scriptures. He said, this battle is a battle of who wears out first, who gets tired first. He said that the beasts will do what? Wear out the saints. Are you getting my point? He said, you will reap if you do not faint. That's don't get tired is what God is saying. There are a lot of men who start businesses according to godly principles. Their problem is that they get tired fast. Because in the first year, they hardly make it through the year. They have no money. Then somebody will turn and say, see your neighbor. And your neighbor is doing iniquity. He's cheating his clients. When he's selling petrol, when he dispenses 100 liters, you know he has already dispensed only 92. And he's building a house. He has expanded his business. You that is walking in righteousness, they look and say, see, you say you are being smart. You know what Satan is trying to do? He's trying to wear you out. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, you are using godly principles. All he's trying to do is to wear you out. And you know the thing about God? God gives him the power, the ability, for some time, to see whether you will wear out. Listen, until the man says, even if I die, that is, if this business dies, let it die. I will not stretch forth my hand to iniquity. One of my colleagues, when I was serving, the only one I had there actually, then, he was the chief abortionist of the whole place. One day, one soldier who was there too said, Doc, don't worry. When this guy goes, you two will start making a lot of money. I said, from what? How is he blocking me from making money right now? Please, listen to the next series of broadcasts we have on air. They're very, very insightful. Because while I was preaching, I understood again myself the meaning of the word patience. You should go and learn patience. I said, what is he doing right now? He says, one cornering all the cases. Which cases? Blood money cases. Are they crazy? Now, why am I telling the story? One day we're talking with the guy. He said, as a house officer, his friends in Enugu here, or was it Enugu or Nanisha, where he trained here in the UNEC. He said, as a house officer, his friends were also doing termination of pregnancies. And he, because of his religious background, said no. And when people come to him, he explains to them that he doesn't for religious reasons, for his faith's sake. But then he doesn't want them to get to the hand of quacks, so he refers them to his friends that he knows that does these things. He now said that they will even bring money to him, you know, like a cut from the business. They cut him some portion. And he will refuse. Now, this is a man who in less than a year, he became the consultant too. Consultant terminating everything. Don't know human beings. Money. When Bible says the love of money. He told me that himself. That he too, he didn't used to do it. Why did he start? Because he got worn out. Resisting. Because why not doing it? He should need vulcanizer. You know that kind of shoe that they go cut. No. You know vulcanizers really attack shoes also. You know, go around, look. You see shoes that is tired, they cut. And then you use hot stove, you know. Organized. So his shoe needed organizing also. So the kind of shoe that he can walk on the side like this. The man look him. In France, they buy television. He didn't get. Now, first time I'm sure, after he did the first one, he didn't sleep that night. But there is what is called the searing of the conscience. The more you iron it, You put iron over it, the conscience is dead, is getting deader and deader. And I laughed to myself. So he stopped, he didn't do it then, but then by the time I met him, he was the ogre, a dear specialist. Man, guys will make money. That's why Jesus said they will not overcome if they refuse to despise their lives, even to the point of death. They won't overcome. You know the interesting part? The current day Nigeria, not too many years after them, he doesn't need that to make money. Then, I was a doctor also. Things were tight, I know. I mean, I did a house job on salaries of between 700 and 900 naira a month. And don't tell me things were better then. I keep on telling people. The pair of shoes I wore that time was 3,000 bucks. I'm not joking about that. That is, I didn't buy it then when I finally got money. No, this is not a joke. Nobody had a television as the whole building where I was, house officers. The only person that had one TV brought from somewhere was one old-time black and white. Color TVs were all over the place. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Color TVs were like 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 naira at that time. I paid you 900 naira a month. No, that's a fact. That's the way things were. I mean, well, what did we do? We took pride in it. Kingsley, where are you? Well, I was telling you today. Now people complain. I said, listen, in life, I have gone past some things now. I thank God for that. All right? I can afford to wear expensive shares now. I thank God for it. But in Lagos here, I bought shares for 200 naira to Shudi. They were not new. They were used. For your information, I was a resident doctor. As people grumble, that country is bad. I look at them, holy thief. May God not punish you. No, I'm telling you. So what is it? Listen, there were times, I said one day I stepped into water, my shoe had caught under, I didn't know. Even then I even had money, I was using all my money, buying Bishop Oyedepo tapes, buying books, buying Kenneth Hagin and just buying materials. All of this world, you chop free of charge today, you think it's free? No, it's true. Some of you owe me shoes. Those days I didn't wear shoes. For the world I'm giving you now, well, go and buy me some good my money shoes. Are you getting my point? No, listen. That's the fact about life. But then, will I, because of that, put my hand into committing abortions? Like we do in my place. We go rolling like this, and push up or back. You know that kind of thing. That's Yoruba for you. We'll carry around and go back. Say, hey, the thing's behind me. Say, no. What Satan tries to do is to wear you out while you are standing in righteousness. He will ensure you go hungry. And God will be watching, waiting for the person who will not, you know, budge because of the attrition of the devil. Are you getting my point? The principles that will bring you out as the light of the world, when you start, they will give you problems. Look, our time is gone. We'll continue on this matter next time. Let us pray. Slayo, please, can you just come and help me out here?